The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, TNA Hall of Famer, and one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time, Bully Ray and I talk all about Monday Night Raw, the King of the Ring tournament, the Queen's Crown tournament, and also the unenthusiastic Raw crowd from last night, right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Bully, I want to look at this Queen's Crown and the King of the Ring tournament. If they're not giving the time in the matches, and they're also not giving vignettes and explaining who's actually in the tournament and why they're in the tournament, like why are we seeing the women that are in this tournament? What are the reasons behind that? If they're not going to do the explanations, is it all just about who ultimately wins the tournament? Is this just a way to fill up to like, all right, so we could get this crown jewel, this Queen's Crown and the King of the Ring. We could just get this gimmick on the ultimate winner, and it really has nothing to do with the tournament itself.
Absolutely. And in WWE in 2021, what will Queen of the Ring really mean? What will King of the Ring really mean? When was the last time being King of the Ring actually meant something? When was the last time they actually... I mean, I think Baron Corbin did a good job with his, King Corbin thing, but it was more shticky than anything else. I think Booker got tons of mileage out of it, but I don't remember anybody being, like, remember when the King of the Ring was had some credibility?
Of course.
Credible tournament. Like, when you were the King of the Ring back in the day, that means you were an accomplished wrestler. Now, what is it going to mean? It's just going to be shtick. So, yeah, it's all filler until they get to the finals. And then whoever wins, they have a character to write for who is now the king or the queen. It doesn't mean the same thing that it used to. It used to meant you were the best wrestler. It really doesn't matter in the eyes of creative. It matters in the eyes of the boys. Look at the effort put forth last night by Xavier Woods and Ricochet. It's about the credibility of the wrestling match. And Lord knows the women would love to do that and show off what they are able to do, but they're just not giving the time. So if they're not giving them the time in these opening rounds, why should I believe that it's being taken seriously?
I agree. And it used to be a pay-per-view, and it used to really mean something when you won it. But my hope, Bully, and I'm hopeful of it, I'm hoping this does mean something. Case in point, this year's. Because you look at the Queen and Queen's Crown, right? All right, so now you have the semifinals next week on Raw. So you have Zelina Vega on SmackDown and Raw. You have Zelina Vega and Carmella on SmackDown. And then you're going to have Doudrop and Shayna Baszler. I would think, ultimately, it's going to lead to Zelina Vega against Shayna Baszler. The reason I'm hoping is maybe you can make something with Zelina Vega if she wins the tournament, a heel. And then maybe if Shayna Baszler wins it, Bully, which probably is the odds-on favorite right now, that's credible. Because we're seeing a badass Shayna Baszler. I mean, that knee to Dana Brooke, that looked harsh last night. Give me that Shayna Baszler, you know, winning this tournament. Now you have credibility with that. And then if you look at King of the Ring,
that was credible. But watch this. I'm going to go back to something that I've been saying so much.
Okay.
You're like, the knee to Dana was credible, right? Right before the knee, Shayna Baszler had her real naked choke hooked on Dana Brooke, and Dana Brooke got out of that. How in the flying hell does Dana Brooke get out of a rear naked choke from Shayna Baszler?
Listen, I can't argue with that. It was that match for a match that was, what, a minute and change? Was pretty sloppy. It was pretty much just like waiting. And that's why it almost was like at Shayna Baszler at the end, that I was like, enough of this shit. Gives the knee to Dana Brooke, pins her 1-2-3.
I'm sorry. My opinions on how Shayna is handled have been the same for a long time. And if Shayna has not been in the wrestling business for eons, where maybe she may, you know, completely understand, or maybe she does. And if she does, credit to her. But I put this on the producer, who should be protecting Shayna from herself. Shayna Baszler should never hook a rear naked choke on anybody and have them get out of it, especially somebody who has wrestled as infrequently as Dana Brooke has.
Agreed. And I think if you do have Shayna Baszler win it, then that could be something where it's like, all right, maybe they can make this credible. Maybe it would actually mean something. And then on the men's side, I mean, am I wrong? Everybody wanted to see Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. That's, to me, you want interest in a tournament? You want to make the tournament meaningful? You put Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston in the semifinals together. But it doesn't look like that's happening, obviously, after what took place last night. So,
And what does becoming the King of the Ring or the Queen of the Ring really mean anymore? Like, going forward, it's not like winning the King or the Queen guarantees you a shot at any... if you become the King of the Ring or the Queen of the Ring, you get a shot at any championship that you want at any given time. Kind of similar to a Money in the Bank, but the Money in the Bank is only for the World Heavyweight Championship. There has to be some kind of tangible award other than, oh, here's your scepter and here's your crown and here's your cape. Big deal. That just turns into shtick.
Well, especially when we find out who the winners are going to be. I'm hopeful, Bully. I think in a lot of ways, the way they presented it, I think is a positive. Depending on who wins, it could be a positive. It could make somebody if they do it the right way.
Tell me the last time it made somebody.
Oh, my God. I mean,
see, this is what I do. When you're talking to me, you can't just throw shit out there without expecting me to come back and hold you accountable. When was the last time being the King of the Ring meant anything?
You probably have to go back. Shit. To almost 20 years before it was really meaningful. I mean, so I think, like you said, Corbin did some good things. Sheamus did some good things from it. But as far as it meaning something, you probably have to go back 15, 20 years.
I would prefer my King and Queen of the Ring to be a bit more credible when it came to wrestling. It should be more of a credible tournament. I'm seeing the men try to be as credible as possible in their work because they are being given time. The women have not been given time. If they're not getting time, why should I take the Queen's tournament more seriously? When Shayna, what's Shayna Baszler's moniker? The Queen of Hearts or something like that, or what is she, the Queen of
Ace,
Queen of Spades?
Ace of Spades.
Ace of Queen, aces and eights. Queen.
She would have actually
with
been
the, playing with
she
the Queen
been
of
a
Hearts.
Good leader of aces and eights.
She would have took my ass out. I would have had her put the rear naked choke on me, choke me out. I would have fell asleep, and then she could have taken my vest.
But Bully, all right. But you're saying you're throwing it back on me and saying you're holding me accountable. But If Shayna Baszler wins this tournament and Shayna Baszler is the Queen's Crown and she comes out there and she's kicking everybody's ass, you know, we're seeing this reinvention of Shayna Baszler. So if she does have that crown and she does have that scepter and she goes out there and beats all her opponents in a minute and 10 seconds, are you saying, I'm buying into this a little bit more now?
I'm buying into this a little bit more now. Okay, fine. A little bit more now because she was so far down the ladder of what I was able to buy into before that I guess anything of a step forward is a positive. What does Shayna Baszler become if she's Queen of the Ring? It's just the title. I believe that Shayna Baszler was a good enough athlete to be treated the same way a Charlotte, a Sasha, a Becky, and a Bayley. Now, Shayna might not have been a wrestler's wrestler the way those four women were, but with her MMA background, I'm sure that she could have been as successful in the ring as a wrestler, as a Ken Shamrock, as a Kurt Angle, yada, yada. Anybody that came from that background. I get it. She doesn't have Ronda Rousey's name value, but she's got Ronda Rousey's talent as a fighter, doesn't she?
Well, Bully, and who knows if we're ever going to get Ronda Rousey back. But say we do. You could have taken this time off from Ronda Rousey and built up Shayna Baszler as this incredible badass that maybe when Ronda came back, you could put Shayna in the ring with Ronda and it would work. It's not going to work right now. Could it down the line? Maybe. But you could have used this time where, all right, Ronda's gone. Well, Shayna Baszler is taking the place of Ronda Rousey as that credible MMA background badass in the world of the WWE.
If you are going to build up a Shayna Baszler, to me, I want her built up for somebody like a Bianca Belair. Shayna Baszler can get some great steam on Bianca, and we can get some good sympathy on her. Those are the things that I'd like to see. Is it too little, too late with Shayna? I don't know. Does making her, if she wins the Queen of the Ring, does that wash the bad taste out of my mouth of watching her go out there for a year or two and just lose and lose and lose and being the absolute worst version of herself that they could possibly have written for her? I don't know. Maybe, I guess. I'm not as hopeful just because of the amount of time being invested. Now, what does the amount of time being invested in Carmella versus Liv have to do with Shayna Baszler? It's about the tournament. If you want the winner to be credible, then the tournament has to be credible. I don't know how credible you can be in a minute and a half.
And also, too, like Dana Brooke, why is Dana Brooke in this tournament? Like, why are you putting, did she win some kind of match that we don't know about? That's like, hey, we have to have her a part of this tournament. That's why a little explanation would go a long way. That's where, like, buying in, WWE has to do their part to help us buy in to this tournament.
No. They're not going to help us do anything. As a matter of fact, listen to the crowd last night. They don't help themselves sometimes.
Hey, everyone. Jen Piacenti here, host of Sticks and Stacks, the podcast that brings you the very best action from the world of hockey and baseball. Each week, myself, Sean Drotar, and Nate Lundy will bring you our best picks and talk you through the props, bets, and fantasy advice that can help you become the best fantasy manager in your league or even just help you win some money. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts or listen on the SXM app, free for most subscribers.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. There's one thing that I caught on, and Bully, you and I talked about it a little, and I know there's some callers that were actually at Raw last night, Bully, but man, you always say this when it comes to the WWE. Don't really see it a lot on SmackDown, but we definitely see it on Monday Night Raw. You always say it's very much like a Broadway play, and the people who buy a ticket are buying a ticket to watch a performance. I really thought that last night, Bully, watching Monday Night Raw, because there was no energy from that crowd, that West Coast crowd last night at Monday Night Raw. What were your thoughts of that crowd last night?
Same as you thought, not much energy. There were 4,000 people in that arena last night, and the place probably holds, I don't know the exact number. Let's just call it 15,000 because that's a pretty that's an average number for an arena, right? About 15,000.
With the entrance way and the way that they cut down a quarter of that arena, I think 14,000 to 15,000 is a fair estimate.
Remember that concert you always said you went to, the story you always tell about Judas Priest playing in Newark in a 25,000 seat arena, and how many people were there?
Yeah, about 4,000.
It loses all its flavor, right? All the energy is just gone because you're looking at this huge arena and there's 4,000 people there and you're just like, ugh, takes the wind out of your sails.
Because you're waiting for the crowd to show. Like, you're the show's, you know, the band's about to go on. You see the opening band and you're like, all right, people are probably out in the parking lot. And then the lights go dim. You're like, holy shit, there's nobody in this building.
Same thing with my Motley Crue story when they came back and only half the arena was filled, Nassau Coliseum. Last night, you go to Monday Night Raw. The minute Raw came on the air, I saw so much black in the back in the background, you could tell that they just darked out the whole arena. Now, that's not the point. The point is, it's this. If you're a fan and you see that the place is a quarter of the place full, you're just like, ugh, this is really not the place to be. It kind of takes over your whole thought process. You're not like, oh, I don't care how many people are here, I'm still going to have a great time. That's very much an AEW mentality, which is great, because that AEW can always count on the AEW fan to make sure that whether there's, you know, 10 or 10,000 people there, they're going to have a great time and be lively. Listen, remember when COVID just started to break a little bit and AEW put about, what, like 500 people in Daly's place, and we said, oh, it sounded like 5,000.
Yeah. Yep.
That type of fan will carry you through. The WWE fan right now, I think, is just, I think they're being suppressed also. We're hearing enough stories where security in the arena, whether it's taking away signs, making people take off their shirts, telling them to sit down. It's like you're, as a crowd, you're almost background noise. And that's the way it came off last night. The opening promo really didn't do much for me either. Like, I didn't feel like Drew and Big E last night were saying things that, I'm sorry, I just don't feel like that they would be saying to one another. And that I didn't feel like there was a lot of passion in that promo. Thus, the crowd is just kind of there. Ugh. And then the Usos come out, who are from San Francisco. Last night was in San Francisco. So the heels are getting the babyface reaction.
Yep. And also they fell back into the, and something that we've credited the WWE on not doing lately, they fell back into doing again last night, Bully, which is the, you know, can they coexist? Here, you know, Big E and Drew McIntyre are arguing in the ring, and then the Usos come out, and then of course this is setting up a tag match. Jimmy Smith actually said, can they coexist? And then you get the main event match in the tag, and then things fall apart at the end, and Big E and Drew McIntyre are coming to blows. Bully, we've seen that hundreds and hundreds of times played out on Monday Night Raw. I thought they'd done a good job lately of getting away from it, but they fell right back into that WWE Monday Night Raw, you know, that same scenario that we've seen 1,000 times. And it's predictable. And predictability, Bully, is always going to sap the energy out of a live crowd, too.
There was nothing very live about that live crowd. Yeah, at times, they came up a little bit. But if I'm sitting at home, and I've talked about this with AEW, if I'm sitting at home watching an AEW show, the way the fans are reacting, I'm saying to myself, wow, I want to be there. I want to be a part of that. Even if I don't understand what AEW is, even if I don't agree with the type of product that AEW is putting out there, which is not the case. I'm just giving an example. If I'm watching at home and I'm like, holy crap, look at the people. They're having so much fun. I'd like to be there. Case in point, your brother, right?
Yeah.
How did your brother feel when he went to the AEW show?
He loved it. And I could tell you right now, and no disrespect to the product, if I took him to a Monday Night Raw, he'd be bored to tears.
Because he's not a wrestling fan. Listen, last night watching that crowd, there was nothing about that crowd last night that made me want to go see Monday Night Raw. I'm like, it's not like, holy shit, these people are having the best time ever. What am I missing out on? FOMO. You know what FOMO is?
What?
Fear of missing out. As a fan, if I'm a wrestling booker, a promoter, I want to put a product on my television that puts FOMO in the hearts of people at home, where they're like, wow, whenever this company comes to my town, I have to be there. We all know what it's like to go, you know, tailgating at a football game for our favorite team, tailgating at a rock and roll concert or the actual concert, any place that we want to go. Darby suffers from massive FOMO. Darby can't miss out on anything.
Yeah. And he's also, you know, annoys the shit out of you when you're actually there. But that's a story for another day.
Yeah, it's a great point. But, like, there's nothing about, it's a tale of two different crowds. You know who's doing a great job right now of putting on shows that when I see clips on social media, I'm like, holy shit, I want to be a part of that crowd.
GCW.
Ding, ding, ding. Circle gets the square. Johnny? Tell him what he's
doing. GCW is doing a great job using the tool of social media, Bully, to say to people, you have to be here, because if you're not, you're going to miss out on something. Like, you know, Thunder Rosa just randomly shows up at a show. The Briscoes just randomly show up. Moxley just randomly. Like, you don't know what's going to happen or what matchups you're going to see. Like, you have to be there. And then also, and this is obviously on a much smaller scale because they obviously don't have, you know, the USA cable network behind them. So they're using aggressively the tools that they have at their disposal of saying, hey, you have to be here to catch a show. And now it's become the end place for wrestlers to want to show up at.
In 1994 and 95, what wrestling company were you talking about with your friends where you're like, hey, did you see this last night? You have to check out this videotape.
It's ECW. And you know what? It got to the point where, you know, and I'm a Jersey guy, Bully, and especially then, I didn't like venturing outside of Jersey much. I had to go to Philly because now, like you were saying, FOMO. You know, I have to be there. I have to experience this. What's this like? Actually live to be there. You had to. And I think AEW, listen, Bully, I don't think there's any question the WWE ratings-wide TV, nobody comes close. Even AEW, as much as hey, they're building towards something. When you look at the actual ratings, WWE is the king. But right now, as far as live attended shows, AEW is actually beating the WWE when it comes to attendance at their shows. How is that possible? Because for a SmackDown, they actually have about a million more people watching their show than AEW. But when AEW comes to town, people are buying the tickets to go see AEW over the WWE.
I would go sit in a crowd right now at an AEW show just to experience what those fans were experiencing. I would go sit in a crowd right now at a GCW show just to experience it. I think it's fun to be out there. I'm sorry, WWE show, you know what's going to happen. You're going to sit there and you're just going to take it in. Every once in a while, you might cheer, might boo, maybe you'll even stand up. But for the most part, the vibe and the feeling is not there. It's just not. Yes, if you're a parent and you're bringing your child there, where your child is more inclined to have a great time for 3 hours, you're going to have a great time just because your kids are having a great time. And if they're smiling, you're smiling. But as individual fans like us, it's a no-brainer. Listen, it just is what it is, and people are going to listen to what we say and say, oh, well, you're an AEW fan or you're a WWE fan like this. Dude, I'm a 30-year professional who's done every fucking thing you can possibly do, and I'm still a fan today, and I know what's good and I know what's not good. You don't have to agree with me. That's fine. But I can give you actual facts, point out details, put it under a microscope and show you why we're talking about fun right now, how many products these days are more quote-unquote fun than the WWE.
And Bully, with this pandemic, we said it was going to be, there was two different ways this was going to go when things opened back up. It's either going to be that people are going to be just can't wait to get the hell out of their homes and start going to shows because they've been cooped up in their house for a year and a half. Or it was going to be like people have gotten used to being in their homes and watching things on TV, and you're going to have to really grab them in order for them to come. I think a lot of it's been the latter, Bully. I think in the beginning, listen, it hasn't. WWE just opened up for live fans in July. That's 3 months ago. That's only 3 months after being cooped up for a year and a half. And you're talking about 4,000 fans being at a fucking show last night for Monday Night
also,
Raw?
Also being in California, Dave, here's a couple of things that might come into play also. So they go live at 5 o'clock because they're in San Francisco, West Coast time. So, you know, maybe some people, you know, with new, because of what COVID has done, new work schedules, yada, yada.
Sure.
I don't know about the COVID restrictions or face coverings. I saw some people with masks on, some people without masks on. I don't know what the thing is about whether you have to be vaccinated or show proof of vaccine. So there are definitely things out there that can put a dent in your attendance, especially in California, who is a state that's been more stringent than when it comes to COVID than others. So let's just say that that affected, I don't know, a couple of thousand people.
Sure. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. But Bully, I think for me, I'm just speaking for myself. You know, as a 50-year-old man with a family, you gotta give me something to want to go see. I've kind of gotten used to being home. So, you know what? I want to know that I'm going to have a good time. And listen, if I'm going to the circus with my kids, do I want people standing up in front of me? Do I want a big, fat fucking LaGreca head where I got to say down in front, my kids can't see? No, probably not. But if you're at a concert, do I want somebody behind me saying, hey, down in front? No, I'm at a freaking concert. I'm having a great time here. Of course I'm on my feet. Right now, the WWE, from what we're hearing, now maybe people will call in and say something different. From what we're hearing, they're taking signs away. They're making you change shirts. They're telling you to sit down.
But let me
I don't
ask
want
you this.
That when I go out. Well, I want to have a, honest I want to, I want to, go ahead.
Honest and fair is what we do.
Yes.
All right. Yes, it's fun to see a giant fathead of yourself in the front row of Monday Night Raw. But you can understand why they don't want a giant fathead of you on Monday Night Raw, right?
I think it's because, and judging from what I've been seeing on Monday Night Raw, they want to keep every single sign to what's going on their show. So if you bring a Roman Reigns sign, that's fine. But anything outside of their bubble, they don't want there in the crowd.
Okay, so let's say the person in the front row, what's his name? Zito. Chuck Zito over there, whatever your friend's name is.
He's not my friend. Chuck, he's a listener.
That's
he's
right. Chuck, Chuck Zito's my friend. I forgot about that. Yeah. So me and Chuck Zito had dinner together one night at the Rainbow. We left at like 4 in the morning. That was a good time. Anyway, you know who Chuck Zito is?
I do know Chuck Zito. I
just
and
let me
Josh
name drop,
agree.
Right? Just
one of my favorite all-time TV shows, Oz. Chuck Zito is in Oz, so that's there you go.
If there's a Roman Reigns sign in the front row, I think the WWE is going to leave it alone. But even if there was a giant Roman Reigns fat head in the front row, what do you think that they would do?
I don't know, because from what I hear, they ask for everybody to show their signs at certain points during the show.
What I'm saying is, if there's a fat head in the front row, I think that's distracting. Vince doesn't want that distraction, because then the viewer at home is looking at the people in the front row with the fat head and not what's going on the television set. It is a distraction. Now, if there are people with busted open signs and busted open merch in the crowd and they want to hold up their busted open sign or flash their busted open merch, there's nothing wrong. There should be nothing wrong with that. Last night, as soon as they came on the air, there was a guy in the front row with I'm a Dave LaGreca guy shirt. And if they want to watch busted open gear, if they want to wear AEW gear, GCW gear, who gives a rat's ass? They already gave you your money to sit in the front row. Who cares what they're wearing?
But they, we have heard stories where they have told people to change their shirts and they give them a WWE shirt.
I don't think that's very fair. Now, I do think it's nice of the WWE that if they say, hey, listen, thank you for buying a front row ticket. We appreciate it. We noticed that you have some competitions merchandise on. We'd like to give you two free WWE shirts, one to wear now and one for later. At least they're going out of their way to do the right thing to represent their brand and their product. Because you know what, Dave? You would do the same thing, because it's just smart business. If we were doing a busted open event, like any of the ones we do where, you know, massive amounts of people show up and somebody showed up with, you know, Joe's podcast, you'd probably be like, hey, man, how come you got a Joe's podcast shirt on? And like, well, I like Joe's podcast. You're like, yeah, but this is a Busted Open event. Here, let me get your Busted Open shirt instead.
I wouldn't. And as a matter of fact, if you remember from our 10-year anniversary party, somebody showed up with a huge Pat McAfee head that was being tossed around. Like, and that was fine. Pat McAfee, you know, if you want to come on here, promote Pat McAfee. And Pat McAfee was a guest on our show as well. But it's just like, to me, that doesn't bother me, because it's like, I don't want to put restrictions on anything. The last thing I want to do is put restrictions. Bully, if you're at a Motley Crue concert, and let's say Motley Crue is taping that concert for a new DVD that's coming out, and somebody's sitting in the front row with a Judas Priest t-shirt on, I don't think Motley Crue is going to be like, you know what, pal, can you take that Judas Priest t-shirt off and put on a Motley? They're going to be like, dude, you're here to party. Let's have a good time. I don't think they would do that.
I agree with you. But if they did, I would understand why.
See, I don't think you want to put restrictions. Hey, you know, maybe
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying if they did, I wouldn't be the guy going, how dare you do that? I'd be the guy saying, all right, I can understand it. Now, whether or not the guy decides to take the priest shirt off or not, different story. But I would understand the motive of wanting to have a Motley Crue shirt on the guy in the front row.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast. SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
At KPMG, our people make the difference. It's not just something we say, it's what we do. Combining the power of people and technology, we uncover brighter insights, innovate bolder solutions, and create better data-driven outcomes. KPMG, make the difference.